classes the last couple of weeks, I really do encourage you to go either to YouTube or to the website, walkingrace.org, and download the podcast so that you can be caught up, because this has been incredibly rich in studying His Word, and I just over and over again thank Him of His timing of our study of John, and that it is right before Resurrection Sunday, and the celebration of what that will look for us, because we've studied His Word in a way that we've come to love Him more, because we can fully understand what He has done for us and what He has accomplished for us. And so as we've seen in John 17, 1 through 5, when we were looking at that, we see that first He asked for Himself to be glorified. He prays for Himself first, and we really talked about that. As women of God, as women that God has placed us in circles of influence that He desires for us to influence others and to make Christ known to them, it's very important that we understand that everything, all the fruit that is born from that is from God, and that we need to pray over the work that we're doing for Him. And so Jesus, first and foremost, prays for Himself, because if the cross is not accomplished, nothing else matters. If the cross is not accomplished, this prayer does not matter. If the cross is not accomplished, we are not His. We are not bought. Okay? And so He prays for Himself first for that to be accomplished. And then, as we see, He begins to pray for the disciples, for the believers that are there with Him at that time. And we see, if we went on to see after Resurrection Sunday, and He has these followers that He is training and teaching, there's about 500 of them that he is praying over at this time. And then next week we will move into whenever He prays for those future believers, which is you and I. And so tonight we see that last week He prayed for our protection, the disciples' protection, and the things that were going on with them. And He says to protect them so that they may be one as you and I are one. And He's speaking of us being one in mind and one in purpose, that we can fully understand what we've been called to do, what we have been born and created to do, and that is to make Christ known and to save the nations, is what Scripture says. And so He prays for us to be one with Him, to be on mission as He is on mission. And then tonight we're going to see, as He continues His prayer for the disciples, He desires for His followers to know joy. He desires for them to know joy and to be set apart for His work. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. And so as we get started, I want you to look at your table talk. We're going to start with a question. And it says, what's the difference between joy and happiness? And why do you think Jesus is concerned with you having His joy? So let's start with that. What's the difference between joy and happiness? And why is it important that Jesus, that we have Jesus' joy? So tell me, what's the difference? What did y'all talk about? What's the difference between joy and happiness?
Happiness is temporary.
What else? Okay, so joy is an inside emotion. Happiness is based on your circumstances. So why do you think, before we even get into this, why is Jesus concerned with us having His joy? Why do you think that He prayed that? Do what?
We're closer to Him.
Okay, closer to Him. Ellie?
Because with our joys, Jesus Christ is standing within us like
His. So it's a mark of being a believer, right? Whenever people see that joy. Okay, that's great. Look at verse 13. It says, now I am coming to you. Jesus is speaking to the Father. And these things that I speak in the world, all of this, you know, from chapter 14 all the way up to this point, everything that He has spoken, and as He is praying this prayer over the believers, He says, everything that I'm speaking is that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I thought that this was so interesting that Jesus would pray for joy, and that He spoke of joy in the way that He did. In the midst of them having this fear of their future, in the midst of knowing that for some reason that their Lord and Savior is praying for their protection,
In the midst of all of this confusion that's happening and the possibility of persecution that Jesus continually speaks of, he prays for joy. Isn't that interesting? And I think that he knew exactly what it was. He desired for them to have this protection and for them to be joy-filled, because he knew that that is what would sustain them through those future endeavors that they were about to go through, through the circumstances that they were going to go through. So how do we receive this joy? He speaks of this joy that he desires for us to have. And how do we get that joy in the midst of a trial that's as traumatic as what they're about to walk through presently at that time? How do they get that joy? And he speaks it right here in Scripture. You receive the joy through the Word. I want you to look at verse 14. He says, in verse 13, he says, I speak in the world that they may have my joy. And then look at verse 14. It says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So Jesus is speaking here of this joy, and he says that it's in them, right? It's that internal emotion that is being spoken of, that it comes from the Lord. It comes from his word. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And this weekend, some of you guys even replied to this on Facebook. I put out there, what is the difference between joy and happiness? And is there a difference there? And this is what some of the people said. Some of the things that you guys have already said, joy is from within. Happiness is based on circumstances. Another was that joy is temporary. The happiness is temporary and joy is permanent. And you can choose happiness, but you can live joy. I love that. You can choose to be happy, but you can live out the joy that comes from within and just bubbles up, is what I think of. Happiness is a state of mind, and joy is a state of being. Happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on our position in Christ. Amen? And so there's that difference that is happening here. What I want us to understand is the world will do anything and everything to kill your joy. They will do anything that they can to kill your joy. And you and I must come to the place of fully understanding truth that Jesus alone is the one that is the giver of this joy. He alone is the one that sustains you through your circumstances and your trials. And he alone is that source of that sufficient grace that we have. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words became a joy to me and the delight of my heart. I love that. Your words became a joy to me. The word of God is what brings this joy. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift given to us through the Holy Spirit living within us, and that gift is given of joy. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence there is the fullness of joy. So whenever we're in the presence of God is where you will find that fullness of joy that he is speaking of. Joy is the mark of a believer, amen? And it's grounded and it's received from God. It's a quality that we have, not just an emotion. In 1 Peter 1:8, it says, you rejoice with joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory. Your joy that you have is inexpressible. Sometimes it's something that you can't even fully communicate to another. There's a lot of times when you can be in the deepest trial of your life, but you literally express this joy because you know that your source and your sustainer is Jesus Christ. It's this joy that is seen as I was thinking through this and trying to fully understand how we can have a joy like this in the midst of trial. And it made me think of a woman that I just spoke with last week that went through 10 years of abuse, verbal and physical abuse. And she has this amazing joy in the midst of it because she knows that Jesus Christ is her overcomer and he's the one that gives her hope. Or the woman that we minister to on a weekly basis that is literally fully handicapped because the last 7 years she has breathed in lead at the place that she works and it has fully debilitated her body. And she sits there with this expression of joy and hope that only comes from Jesus Christ. That's the only place that it comes from. That joy is evident in you and me whenever we continually trust in God day by day by day in the midst of our circumstances. It's that joy that he speaks of here. The world cannot give you a dose of it. It only comes from Jesus Christ. So joy is this gift of the Lord, but it's also a command. And as we've talked about this entire year with the book of John, absolutely, God loves first, but we respond to that love. Amen? He gives, but we also have to partake. He calls, and we have to respond to that. And so just as much as it is a gift, it's also a command. We have to do something with that. And we can engage and embrace that that gift regardless of our circumstance. We make the decision if we're going to receive that joy and if we're going to stand firm on truth. Christ instructed his disciples to rejoice when they were being persecuted. Both Paul and James commanded for believers to rejoice in the midst of the trials that they were in. So it's something that you and I have to embrace. It's something that we have to accept. It's a truth that you and I need to stand on and not allow ourselves to be swayed back and forth in an emotion whenever life is hitting us the way that it is. Amen? I still remember whenever I came to a time whenever I started walking with the Lord, that was one of the greatest things that I asked for, was for that sustaining character no matter what the circumstance. I had lived a roller coaster life of emotion. Depending on the circumstance, depended on my mood. And I didn't want to be that person anymore. I wanted to be able to have the character and the mark of a follower of Jesus Christ as a child of God. And I prayed for that joy that sustained me so that he would make my road level. Amen. We have to be the ones that also receive, just like with grace. It's a gift given, but we have to embrace it and receive it. And there's many of us that for whatever reason cannot seem to receive grace because they feel unworthy, or they feel that they are not valued enough, or that their sin is too large. And we have to come to the place where we stand on truth, not on feeling. And so that is what he's speaking of here. And so if you look at verse 14, he says, the world hates his disciples because they are no longer of the world. You guys, tell me this. How does the world know to hate you? He says, the world hates because they are not of the world. How does the world know that you love God? How do they know to hate you in the midst of that? Have you ever thought about that? What is it that was happening to these people that made the world come to the place of saying, I don't like what you're about. You're exposing me right now. You're making me uncomfortable. I had to really begin to question this because this is what happens. Okay, I need for you to follow me on this. When you receive the word of God, when you embrace that Jesus is God's son, whenever you believe the truth that he has come to forgive you of your sins and to bring you life, not only today, but for eternity, when you begin to believe that and the Holy Spirit comes as a gift and lives within you, you begin to change. Amen? When you start studying the Word of God, when you start having this loving obedience that we've spoken about these last couple of weeks, you begin to be transformed in that. And it's because of that life change that is happening in you that the world begins to hate you. Amen? You're not the person that you were, and you're beginning to make them uncomfortable with where they are. So this is my question for me this week. And it's now my question for you is, are you hated by the world today? Or are you the world's friend? Do I make people uncomfortable? Not out of rudeness, not out of being too bold, not out of judging other people, but because of my love, because of my great desire to serve, because I do forgive easily. Are you making the world uncomfortable? And are they coming to a place where you're exposing them? Because you should be. Amen? When you begin to follow Jesus Christ, and you are with people who do not know Jesus, you are going to affect them. You're going to expose their darkness. I want you to flip over to Ephesians 5 with me. Ephesians 5. In verse 13 it says, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that the will of the Lord is." But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, "What fellowship has light with darkness?" 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that you were called out of darkness into marvelous light. When you begin to change and when you begin to transform, you're going to get to that place where you make people uncomfortable. Because you're now exposing their sin. Because whenever they come up against someone who is doing their best through the work of the Holy Spirit to walk a holy and blameless life, there's going to be friction there. Amen? You're going to tick some people off. I don't want you to get me wrong, you guys. This is not anything with judging or being rude or condemning. This has everything to do with whenever you love, because you love God so great that it affects you to the place of serving and loving others and being the hands and feet of Christ. Whenever you do that with people who are ignorant to the Word of God, it's going to make them uncomfortable. God calls us to pray for our enemies. He calls us to go into a world that is unsaved and to love the unlovely. So I don't want you to misunderstand me, but I'm telling you that Jesus says, "The world hated me, therefore the world will hate you." So we do not need to be surprised by that. And he says, in the midst of that, "I am giving you my joy, and my joy will sustain you through that." Because it's lonely sometimes whenever we sit in the world, right? It says you're in the world, but you are not of the world. And so when these things begin to happen, I don't know about you, but for me, I quit being invited to some of the parties because they knew that I wouldn't participate the way that they participate. You know what? I would love to be at the party. I'm cool with you doing whatever you want to do, but I make you uncomfortable. You might get to the place where you're not invited with your girlfriends to the garden club for lunch anymore because you're not going to steam up the chatter of gossip in those conversations. So all of a sudden, you're not going to be with them anymore. All of a sudden, your invitations quit because you're making them uncomfortable just because you love them the way that you love them. And it comes to a place where the world is going to hate you for that. And so Jesus is speaking of that here, and he's saying that it's a lonely place. Persecution and trials are lonely, but I'm going to give you my joy, and it is greater than any happiness that the world can offer you. Let me just tell you something. We haven't been called to blend in. We haven't. So I had to question myself, am I making people uncomfortable? Because if I'm not, I'm blending in a little bit too much. Jesus knows this, and so he prays on our behalf to give us this joy that he speaks of, and he lets us know that you are not alone. You've got Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've got the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God, and you've been given this sustaining joy that he speaks of. You've got everything that you need in the midst of it. So I want you to look at verse 15. It says, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And so this is my question for you that I want you to talk about on table talk number two. Why has Jesus kept you in the world? Why did he not take you out? So let's talk about that real quick. Okay, y'all talk to me. Why has Jesus kept you in the world? Why did he pray that you stay? What were some of your thoughts? Have there been times, you guys, seriously, that you've thought, man, it'd be so much greater, Jesus, just take me? I mean, I have been there. And so we need to understand why he doesn't, why we stay, and why he desires for us to be here. And so I want us to hear some answers to that. Put feet to the scripture.
To be a witness?
Okay. Yeah, right. So to be a witness and a light and to proclaim Jesus Christ. So to disciple, to come alongside, to encourage, to lead out. Yeah. To make known the word, right? In every circumstance. So to change the world, but also to change us. So, right, we're here to deepen our faith. To come to the place of more fully believing. How many times, day after day after day, does your faith deepen because you're here? In the circumstances you're in, you have to depend on him more, which deepens and strengthens your faith, which makes you more of a witness, which helps you more disciple. He uses all of that, right? And so he deepens that faith. And like we said, to bring the world to know Christ. And what I think that we need to understand is Jesus speaks it over and over again. God has sent me and I am sending you and I am sending you out. The world needs to know that Jesus alone saves. And so as we spoke a couple of weeks ago, we carry his glory today. We shine his light even when we don't realize that we are. And so he's using us for his purposes. And that's what I had to get right. It's not my agenda. I wasn't born to be queen every day. It's for God's purpose, and it's for his agenda for me to do his work. And I had to come to the place of literally being alert and aware and intentional in that. And that in itself is also life-changing. That in itself deepens our faith. Whenever we really come to fully understand what our purpose is here on this earth, and that is to praise, honor, and bring glory to God and to be the light to those that he has called to him. So Paul tells us even in his, as he's speaking in his letters, that he remained in the world. He says, I've remained here for your sake. I've remained here for the gospel. At one point he says, you know, if it were up to me, I'd love to be with the Lord right now. Because I wouldn't still be being persecuted. I wouldn't still be in prison. I still wouldn't be going through these trials. I still wouldn't know that at any moment now I'm going to be poured out as an offering. It would be way easier to be with Christ. But for your sake, for the sake of the gospel, I have been left here on earth. And that's where we need to get to the place of being. With our children, with our spouse, with our coworkers, with our friends, with strangers that the Lord just places divine appointments. We're here for their sake because we carry the glory and the Holy Spirit lives within us and we speak truth to them and we can influence them for his glory. In John 9:5, Jesus says that as long as he's in the world, he's going to be a light to the world. Now he is leaving us here. We are now his light to the world. Amen? His purpose, he says in John 18, is to bear witness to the truth. Now he has gone to the Father and he has sent us out to bear witness to the truth. That is why we are here. And I think so often that there are times, I know for me, there have been times in my life where I want to be taken out of the world whenever I'm in the midst of hardship. But that is not what Jesus prays for. He does not pray for us to be taken out whenever we get hit with those hardships and those persecutions. He prays for us to be able to be sustained here on earth because in those circumstances, we can be used for his glory. It's not our place to withdraw. It's our place to remain. Even in the midst of those phone calls, even in the midst of those trials and circumstances, whenever we want to just totally pull back and withdraw, many times we even walk away from the Lord. He has called us to remain in it, and He has given us the resurrected power and the gift of the Holy Spirit, who has come alongside us to give us the strength to walk through it. Amen. So I want us to talk a little bit about how we're protected. He speaks of this protection. We know that we're protected by His name, because we talked about that last week. And His name is the name of faithfulness. And He is a God that there is no lie within Him. He is fully truth. And so what He promises will come to pass. And so we're protected by that. We're protected in Romans 12, 2. It says, by the renewing of our mind. And not conforming to the world. And we're renewed in that way by the Word of God. And so we're protected in that. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says that by receiving the Spirit that we are protected so that we will fully understand truth. And that it will be revealed to us. And then in Ephesians 6:10 through 20, many of you know this scripture. We're protected whenever we put on that full armor of God. And so He says, God, protect them as I come to you, because they will remain here in the world. And this is something that I personally have had to really come to grips with, and is just fully understanding that God's got my back and that I am fully protected. And I had to come to this place. I'm very simple-minded, as you guys know. And I had to really just get it down to the simple words of what does it mean so that I can live it. And I had to really come to the place of knowing, number one, I trust God. I say I trust Him fully and completely, but I don't. But He continually walks me through paths where I trust Him more and more and more. I trust Him the best I can today. I fully and completely believe the Word of God. I know it is truth. I know that it is God-inspired. I believe every word in there. So, therefore, when I am in times of trouble, when I am being persecuted, when I'm going through hardship, when I'm getting blamed and nailed by the world, and I am seeing this hate that they have, I had to come to this place of knowing without a doubt, even though I think God does not have my back, truth says He does. And truth says that Jesus Christ is speaking my name and praying for me on behalf of whatever it is that I am going through at that moment. So I am fully protected. Amen. Jesus prayed for me to be protected, not pampered, not spoiled, not left alone and let me just go lick my wounds. He did not pray for me to not have any pain in my life. He prayed for me to be protected in it so that I can fulfill the days that He has ordained for me, so that I can fulfill the purpose that He has for me, so that I can make Christ known to those that He desires for me to go speak that to. And He has protected me in those situations. And whenever I'm in that place where I think that He doesn't have my back, I got to come to the understanding that it's not even close to what it could be because He's praying on my behalf. Amen. It could be the greatest, greatest disaster ever if God did not have my back. We have to be the ones that accept that truth. We have to stand on truth and not on feeling. We have to know that we know that we know. That's what's going to get us out of bed every morning. Look at verse 17. It says, Jesus continues in this prayer and He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This word sanctification, it means to be separated and dedicated to God. Separated from the world. Separated from profane things and dedicated to God. It means to purify externally so you don't have the guilt of sin. It means to purify internally of the renewing of your soul. That is that sanctification. And it is a lifelong process. We are going through sanctification right now. We are going through transformation today. And we will be going through it until we see Jesus Christ face to face. It is a lifelong process of us becoming holy. When he says, be holy for I am holy, it is this process of sanctification. And so Jesus is saying here that this separation process comes from knowing truth. It separated them in truth is what it speaks of. And I want you to understand this word truth here, it's a noun. It is the entire Bible. It is the Word of God. And this truth that he speaks of, this word that he speaks, it does not conform to any other standard of truth. It is the standard of truth that everything else comes up against and is tested against and is compared to. It is the noun truth. Amen? And that is what brings the sanctification. That is how we are separated apart here. In John 5:3, Jesus tells us that this sanctification, this separation that he speaks of, comes through the Word of God. And so whenever you begin to know truth, as we study the Word week after week, as you go through and spend time with the Lord in your daily quiet times, you are being transformed through that process as you are responding to the Word, as the Holy Spirit is working in you. You are being separated out on a daily basis from the world. You are in it, but you are not of it. You're being sanctified. And the Word that he speaks of, this truth that he speaks of, brings joy. It brings you the power of holy living, and it takes us all the way back to the world will hate them. Because they hate me, God, I pray that you will bring them joy. It's that full circle of what is happening. And so he is speaking this to them, and he is speaking through prayer of what's needed during these hard times. Jesus knows what is right in front of these disciples. He knows what's about to happen to them. He knows that they're going to scatter when he's arrested and he goes on trial. He knows that whenever he's resurrected, that they will be the ones that are persecuted. And he is asking for this protection on them through sanctification. And they are protected in this by his name, by the name of God, through the word, with his joy, and through the sanctification that he is speaking of. And so I just want us to close out with verses 18 and 19, if you'll look at this with me. It says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. And so just in closing, you have one last table talk that I want you to look at. And it says, what does Jesus mean in verse 18 when he says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world? What does that mean? What does it mean to you? And are you living it out today? Makes me think about that scripture whenever he says, I have not revealed everything to you because you can't handle it. He gives it to us in small portions, doesn't he, as he transforms us. And it looks differently. And hopefully we're living out our life in a different way today if we've been a believer for a certain amount of time than we did when we first became a believer. And those that just come to know Christ, it's going to look different from them than it does in 10 years. So, right. Amen. What I love more than anything is I can handle anything in life as long as you let me know about it ahead of time. You know, just let me know that there's a plan. I can do anything, but just let me know it's coming. But the Lord allows us to know that, and yes, we're still surprised whenever things happen in our life, but once we get a little bit past that surprise and the sting goes away a little bit more, we kind of go, okay, like I was prepared for this. I mean, truth tells me that these things are going to happen. And truth also tells me that I'm an overcomer because of Jesus Christ. And so we have been given that privilege. And all I can say over and over again today was, I wish I would have known this whenever I first became a believer. I wish that someone, as Kim said, would have discipled me and would have brought me along. And that is why it is so important for us, because I can tell you right now, there is someone in your life that needs for you to come alongside them and disciple them. It doesn't matter how much you know of the Word of God. You go live life with them, and you teach them what the Lord has taught you, and y'all learn together as you go. Because I so wish, I didn't know that my God was a missional God. I didn't know that my God sent his son out to do mission, to come and save the world. I didn't know that Jesus went back to heaven to send me out on mission. I didn't know I had that kind of purpose, and a divine purpose. And I think it would have been life-changing for me whenever I was struggling to find my purpose. I was created with purpose, but I had never been told that. And so there's that importance of discipleship, of even, you know, so many people come to me and say, Melissa, I want to be discipled. I've never been discipled, and I know that God's calling me to disciple someone else, but I don't know what to do. And I'm like, you take what you learn on Tuesday night, and you go Wednesday morning and have coffees with someone, and you teach them what God has just taught you. You take your quiet time that morning as the Lord speaks to you. You go and speak it to someone else, and you bring them alongside with you. It's not huge steps. It's baby steps. But there is someone out there that is craving truth and that is craving for someone to point them in the right direction of Jesus Christ. And I would have given anything if someone would have come alongside me and just said, Melissa, it's right here. John 20:21 says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. You know, one thing as I was looking at all this, I don't think that the disciples fully understood what he was praying. Amen? I don't think that they understood what he meant whenever he said, I'm sending them out to the world. Just like for many of us, even here tonight, it's kind of like, I don't know what that fully means. I mean, like, I see that it's in the Word of God. I see that he's commanding me to do something, but I don't know the fullness of that. And like Gwen was saying, as we come along and as we're being transformed and as we study the Word of God more and as we sit at his feet and as we pray and commune with him, those things will begin to be revealed as we seek him. You seek him and you will find him. And so I don't think that they fully understood, even after resurrection, when he came and basically went through that training period with them, it was revealed a little bit more to them. But none of us fully understand the commitment until we start walking the commitment. We've talked so much with our leadership here about just walking in Grace Ministries, and that it is a very fluid ministry, because we're learning as we go. God is always adjusting and changing and showing us more and more and more of his vision as we go through it. But whenever he spoke it 5-7 years ago, we didn't know the fullness of that. And so I think it's the same with the disciples. They're hearing it, but they don't fully understand it. And they won't understand it fully until after the resurrection, and then they won't understand it until they start living it. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go make disciples of every nation. Show them how to live out loud for Jesus Christ. Show them that abundant life that John 20:31 speaks of. And it says, and teach them to obey. We are called to go out on mission for Jesus Christ and proclaim the word to them. Make Jesus Christ known to all the nations. And the nation could be in your backyard. It doesn't mean you have to go overseas. It means that this city right here has enough. And you make him known to those people. When it speaks here of this, it says the words he says, for their sake I consecrate myself that they may be sanctified. That word, it's the same meaning there. It's that setting apart. He's saying, I have set myself apart in holy living. I have set myself apart. I have dedicated myself to the cross in completing the task that I have been called to do so that you can be set apart, so that you have the ability to live this holy life that I speak of. And so, once again, the cross has to be fully accomplished for us to live the abundant life today. And that is what he speaks of here, of this separation that he's speaking of. You guys, today, whenever I was studying this, and as I continue just to look at Resurrection Sunday that is right before us, and knowing what we're going to be studying between now and Resurrection Sunday are the things that are about to happen. The cross is way more than your ticket into heaven. It is way more than your just forgiveness of sins and you're going to go to heaven. It is living life today. It is living this abundant life here on earth. And today, whenever I was thinking about this and thinking about how often we go on Easter and celebrate, and we just say, thank you, God, for the cross, and thank you for sacrificing for my sins so that I can be with you in heaven. I'm thinking, boy, we have so missed between now and being with him in heaven. We need to thank him for the cross because that is accomplished. We have front row seats to the throne of God. Because of that cross, we have been fully sanctified. We have been given all of truth. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can live heaven here on earth. That's why you celebrate Resurrection Sunday. There are too many people sitting in our pews that are dead because they think it's only a ticket to heaven. That is not the abundant life that he speaks of here. That is not why he prays on our behalf. He prays on our behalf so that we can have life today, so that we can have joy today, so that we can have hope today. Amen. So once again, John 17 has affected me. It would be the coolest thing if everyone here would memorize John 17 and know it. That as you study this, that literally it becomes your quiet time every day. And you understand fully the resources of protection in his name, of his protection in sanctification, of the gift of the Holy Spirit, what it means to have the gift of joy. It literally is your ticket to your future. If you come to the full understanding of the power of the resurrected God living in you, you will have the boldness and the authority to be obedient to anything that he calls you to do. And that is whenever you become the witnesses to the world. That is whenever you become the light to the world. We got to get this piece and understand that he is speaking your name on behalf of what he has purposed you for and called you to. And we need to have a heart that says, I will be obedient to that. And that's where you find joy. And that is where you find purpose. And that is the abundant life. Amen. What is it that God is calling you to right now that you're afraid of, that you don't know what it's going to look like? I want you to put it down, and I want you to allow us to begin to pray for you in that. I want you to be vulnerable enough that you will trust us to pray on your behalf so that you can come to the place of literally stepping out in faith and doing what he's called you to do. That's where the joy is. And not be afraid. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we love you so much. And I thank you for loving us even greater than that. I really can't even imagine or put into words the love that you have for me and the love that you have for these women in this room. But you so give us the depth of that love in John 17. And I pray that we do not take it for granted, but literally we come to know it. Because there is where we will find that joy in the life. In the purpose that you have called us to, that we will know the protection and the sanctification. You've given us everything that we need, dear Father. Dear Father, I just pray as we just continually approach Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, dear Father, that in a way like none other, that every day we fall more in love with you because we come to a more of an understanding of what you have done for us and what you have given us here on earth. Dear Father, I pray that you make every one of us a woman that desires to be obedient, that desires to disciple your people, that desires to be sent out and to do your work. Because in that, we come to a deeper love of you, dear Father. So protect us as we learn more about you. Protect us, dear Father, of giving us time in our days to spend with you. Protect us, dear Father, as we learn truth and learn how to stand on it versus emotion. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.